everybody. Welcome to the No Fly Zone. This is your host, Adam Drybulbis, and I am back. We got a pretty eventful 2 weeks to cover here, so I'm just throwing that out right now. We're going to be doing 2 weeks tonight, just in case you start listening and you're like wondering if you went back in time. No, I'm doing the last 2 weeks. And like I said, pretty eventful. We had some things change. All on screen, behind the screen, you know, the whole deal. And we're, in my opinion, moving forward and in a good direction in a post-apocalyptic Enzo world. So the Zo train has been derailed, and we are we're moving forward without it. So without further ado, let's get into this thing. So Kurt Angle, completely negligent of the 205 Live brand, has apparently passed it off to Daniel Bryan in kayfabe to find a general manager. That general manager he finds in the wreckage of the previous regime of Impact Wrestling, or the previous regime of the previous regime of the previous regime, something like that. And he brings in Rockstar Spud, who is now being referred to as Drake Maverick. And they make sure to let everybody know that he used to be Rockstar Spud, but he is now Drake Maverick. He cuts a pretty fiery promo to start here, as kind of is the trend here, as he seems like he's very comfortable as a performer, which he seems organic when he talks, which is good. Hopefully he can actually help some of these guys with their promo skills, with some mic work, you know, and just their on-screen, you know, presentation, you know, in vignettes and segments and stuff like that that aren't in ring. All these guys are capable in ring, but I think some of them lack, like, expressing personality, whether that's the script writing or not, I don't know. Because a lot of the superstars on the roster tend to look very robotic when cutting promos, and it's very widespread. And it just doesn't seem organic, and it doesn't seem like something that they would say. So I think the writing just hurts a lot of these, you know, a lot of these athletes. We'll just call them that. I can't say superstars. And or wrestlers. We'll call them professional wrestlers. But yeah, I think it hurts a lot of them. It's just like it's not organic. So anyway, just run around in circles for a while here. No, I think he looks very natural. So I don't know if he's getting completely fed or they're giving him a little leeway here. But he's been cutting some good promos. He's been doing some good segments. I've been enjoying it. And apparently, coming out this week was Vince has handed the reins over to Triple H to do 205 Live, which explains everything. If that's the case, it's looked a lot like the Cruiserweight Classic the past 2 weeks. And there's still been some backstage stuff. It hasn't been, like, real corny, though. It's been, you know, Drake kind of laying into TJP for being a whiner and motivating him and calling Nice and Gulak comedy acts. And, you know, just kind of, I mean, this is the stuff that I've kind of been thinking. You know, me personally as a fan is like they turn into a fucking comedy act and I couldn't stand it. I might kind of sound like I've been, you know, as far as my thoughts on the Zo train is I tried to make the best of it. So if it sounds like I'm going back on anything I said on mic, yes, but deep down I hated that shit from minute one. I was not a big Enzo fan. I thought it was lazy to bring him in because it was just, they didn't know what else to do. And obviously you have like the, you know, Neville and Aries and all that. And, you know, what eventually happened with Swan. And I get it. I get it. But it just seemed like this was a Hail Mary and it wound up biting him in the ass. But I think that this could wind up being better for it. I just don't think that it was in a good place around that anyway. Because you literally had like two separate storylines going on. As I've said it before, is you just had like one thing happening on Raw and then one thing happening on 205 Live, and they were somewhat loosely related. But like, you had this shit with Drew Gulak attacking Tony Nese, and like next 2 weeks later, like, Gulak's not even on TV and Nese is like kissing Enzo's ass. It's like, what the fuck is this? And like, Daivari was the only one that really fit that role to me. I mean, the other guys were just like thrown in. Gulak went from like fun PowerPoint guy, you know, to like being a brown noser to Enzo, and then he challenged Enzo, and then it just was a whatever. It's just, I didn't like it. I thought it was just sloppy writing and didn't make sense to me. Anyway, cares about Enzo. So moving forward, apparently they have buried the hatchet. They are now friends again. But as we find out later, Drake Maverick wants to see what they're made of. After calling him comedy acts, he says, let's see what you guys, how bad you guys want it. And he puts them against each other. That's going to be next week, which I'm looking forward to. Another really exciting match that was announced for next week is Mark Andrews and Akira Tozawa. I'm not like the biggest Mark Andrews fan character-wise. In ring, though, I mean, he's fun to watch. I think that's going to be a good match. But, you know, some of Mark Andrews' shit's kind of, I hate Stundog Millionaire, if you know what it is. Somebody randomly just wants to give him a standard suplex like 16 minutes into the match, and he flips out of it and stuns him. It just always looks really forced. Ospreay does it too, but like, the way he does it is different. I don't know, it just seems more organic. That's just my opinion. I know people love Mark Andrews, so I'm not going to shit on him too much. Like I said, he's immensely talented. And, you know, I've seen a lot of his work outside of, you know, what has been in WWE, and, you know, some of his stuff's fine. So, I'm positive tonight. I'm not going to shit on anybody. We're happy. We're enjoying this now. So, yeah, like I said, these two episodes were pretty good. I really enjoyed them. And I don't know if the crowd did, because the crowd's fucking always dead for this, but they got to see some good matches, and whether they appreciated them or not, I don't know. I don't care. Whatever. So, we got four matches so far, with two announced, and Metalik and Cedric led it off, and once again, Cedric Alexander needs to be there in the end, in my opinion, him and Mustafa Ali, in my prediction, in the end at Mania. Or, let's seg into this real quick, what if we get Rey Mysterio and Cedric Alexander? Rey puts him over. Rey's not going to come back full time. I actually think it would be a waste to put him on 205 Live, but I mean, I don't particularly think that. Let me reword that. Like, I don't think it would be a waste. I think people would view it as a waste to put him on 205 Live, because he will be viewed as better than everybody on there. So, you can't really have him come on and do jobs. Like, he's got to pretty much go on there and just hold the title probably forever. But, and he's probably not going to do it. I mean, I don't know if he'd have a problem doing it, but it seems like if they're going to bring him back, they're going to main roster him. You know, he did come out in the Rumble. So, you know. But I've seen some stuff getting kicked around. I think it'd be cool if he came back and wrestled with the Cruiserweights. I think it'd be cool if he wrestled the tournament and put over Alexander in the finals. But that's just me, because I want to see good wrestling and good matches. So, yeah, I mean, we got a pretty good match between those two, between Metalik and Cedric, and seemed like kind of the leash was off, and it wasn't as much of a formulaic match as they've been wrestling, which is, you know, you get one dive and then a bunch of rest holds and then a finish. You know, maybe a big move here and there, but no, this was a pretty fast-paced match. It was more the style, I think, that they enjoy working, and it was very entertaining. So, it was a good match. Um, Tozawa still wants to be GM, and he's continuously going around on his cell phone and firing people, which is funny. I hate those cell phone promos, but Tozawa at least makes it entertaining. TJP and Tyler Bate, I thought, was a good match. TJP was working the leg pretty heavy. Whether you enjoyed the way Tyler sold it or not is purely to each his own on that. I had some kind of mixed feelings on it. He kept going for moves that involved the knee that was apparently destroyed. But, I mean, look at his fucking legs. He's got some protection there. Kid's built like a Clydesdale. But, yeah, he, you know, it was a pretty good match. TJP could not finish him, was the story of the match. He destroyed his knee, kept putting the knee bar on. Bate kept getting out. There's a few times I was 100% sure Bate was tapping. And TJP wound up finishing him off with a rolled him up and grabbed the tights. So Bate's been on a bit of a losing streak here. But he's looked good, you know. That Enzo match, I'm going to pretend that shit didn't even happen. But I think something's building with Tyler Bate. And my prediction is British Strong Style is going to come in one form or another, probably to NXT. I don't know if it's going to be on a full-time basis, but I think they're steering him a little bit toward a possible heel turn because he just keeps losing. And usually when somebody loses a lot of matches, something's got to happen. And he lost to Roderick Strong on the NXT pre-show. He loses here. He lost to Dunn in another title match. He lost to Enzo. Like, he just keeps eating L's. So something's got to break at some point. And he even tweeted about it, you know, doing something different. So we'll see. Keep an eye on it. But yeah, it was a pretty good match. Kalisto and Dorado was awesome. I really enjoyed it. You know, I think Kalisto's a pretty good worker in ring, to be totally honest with you. It's just he gets stuck doing that just kind of cheesy kid shit. But, like, the style also is just, it doesn't, he's a lucha guy. You know, he does lucha things. And he's in the lucha house party. And we had an inner house party frat boy lucha fight tonight. And it was pretty good. Dorado needs new music, though. He cannot keep coming out to that. But Lindsay Dorado has pretty much used his bullshit enhancement talent on Main Event and Raw here. I don't even know if he's been on Raw, honestly. If he has, he probably just did a quick job. And 205 Live, he's just been in tag matches and done jobs. But this match was awesome. And he's been kind of the past, like I would say 2 weeks, getting some kind of, you know, getting his shit in a little bit. So I think they're going to kind of be pushing him a little bit here as more of a more formidable, you know, force on the show, which is good because he was barely on TV and barely did anything. So, no, it was a good match. And once again, there was no certainty on who was winning. I mean, you thought that it was going to be Kalisto. Dorado hit his finish, but Kalisto rolled out, which, you know, this is one of my favorite things about these matches because those matches were so predictable at one point in time that it was, like, barely worth watching. Like, you just knew what was going to happen. And the past 2 weeks, it's been, this is a match I didn't think they were going to make, and now I'm curious to see who's going to win. So that element of it really adds, you know, some interest to me because they're good matches, and it's not heel versus face. It's face versus face. It's going to be heel versus heel next week. You don't know who's going to win. And that's kind of what's fun about wrestling is when you don't know who's going to win a match. You know, when you know who's going to win, it kind of is boring to watch. If you suspect who's going to win sometimes, it's fine as long as the match is good. But if you know, if you're like, I'm just watching this, I'm going through the motions, it's going to be the same moves, it's going to be the same story, and then this guy's going to win, and who gives a shit? Anyway. But yeah, like I said, it was a good match. Dorado hit his springboard stunner and then hit the shooting star, and he just couldn't make the cover. Kalisto rolled out. Kalisto hits the Salida del Sol. I thought that was it. Dorado gets the ropes. Not yet. And then Kalisto hits a springboard reverse Hurricanrana which Dorado didn't go all the way over for. Something got messed up. And, like, hit Kalisto's back and just slid down his back. I thought it looked awesome. It was a little botchy, but I thought it looked awesome. The move itself is, I would imagine, extremely difficult to pull off, but it looked cool. Hits Salida del Sol. That's a wrap. Kalisto moves on. I thought it was a good match. I thought it was fun. I was excited watching it. We got Roderick Strong and Hideo. Roderick Strong making his debut against Itami, who just isn't finding a home anywhere at this point. It's a shame. Dude's a hell of a wrestler, but it just doesn't seem like anybody gives a shit. So I wonder if he's going to angle toward a possible heel turn here at some point, like he was in NXT. It seems like the fiery face thing just... It is so hard to tell anything on with 205 Live because the crowd is just always dead. Like, it's so hard to get anybody over on there. I mean, despite it all, Cedric Alexander has. Mustafa Ali seems like he gets a great reaction too, but a great reaction on 205 Live is like 12 people cheering for you. So I feel bad for him. I don't know what the fuck they were doing when they brought him out with Balor. And, like, he teamed with him, and that was it. Like, he's not going to get shine off one appearance. You got to keep showing him to people and show that. I mean, he's a small guy, but, fuck, put him in Balor Club and let him team up with those guys. You know, they can have a cruiserweight in there. Gives a shit if it crosses brands. Put him in there, let him, you know, let him be a badass. Maybe people start growing on him, I don't know. Do something. Just bring him out one day and then forget it ever happened. Like, it makes no sense. Like, oh, here's my friend. And then he's never going to hang out with me ever again. Fucking dumb. Anyway. Yeah, this was the surprise. I kind of figured, like, to me, if you're bringing in Roderick Strong, it's tough to have him lose, like, right away. But at the same time, like, if he's not staying there, then I guess have him lose. But he wins. And he wins pretty convincingly, honestly. This is a pretty good match. Pretty stiff. Roderick Strong really worked over Tommy's back here, like, hard. And it was, you know, good psychology setting him up for the end of Heartache. And, I mean, he brutally worked his back. He was stretching a lot. He gave him, you know, bumped him on the edge of the apron. Some pretty nasty knees. Tommy hit a super Falcon Arrow, which was awesome. The ending sequence was great. Tommy went for his new finisher. Roddy bounced him off the ropes, hit a flying knee, and then hit the end of Heartache. If you've never seen that move, you need to see it. It's amazing. Obviously, he's not doing it to the Big Show, but it's a pretty devastating-looking move. But I was kind of surprised that we got this. So, Roderick Strong getting a big tournament run here. And he's also got a UK tournament match, or a UK title match coming up too. So, yeah, Roddy getting a little shine here. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, this was a pretty good two episodes here. I enjoy just watching wrestling. So, like, you know, these episodes are just good matches. Like, this is what people fell in love with, the Cruiserweight Classic. And just with the whole thing with, apparently, like, Vince wanted this to be more character-driven, and, like, dude, it sucked. Like, it just wasn't, you know? Just nobody knew who these people were or gave a shit about them. I don't know what Gallagher's doing right now. He's been absent the past 2 weeks, but I imagine he'll get a match. Ali's got to get a match here coming up. So, yeah. There's not really a ton to talk about here. It's just four matches, basically, and just some backstage promos. So, but they're giving these guys camera time, like, at promos and individual time. And, you know, TJP had one where he sat down in front of a camera. WWE needs that shit again, is personal, in-your-face promos, not Charlie standing there awkwardly, you know, talking to a guy and they're standing in a weird spot and he won't look at the camera, and then after he walks away she awkwardly stares in the camera for 15 seconds. let's get back to like the basics here and just good promos. Let these guys be themselves a little bit. Let them find their characters if they haven't yet. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe 205 Live becomes like kind of a testing ground for some things. I'm curious. Maybe it just becomes like NXT and starts getting sweet. I don't know. I hope so, because staying up and watching this shit on Tuesdays isn't fun. And then trying to find time on Wednesdays isn't fun either. But it's a lot of wrestling in a week. It's too much wrestling in a week. So yeah, prediction: Alexander, Mustafa Ali, WrestleMania, pal, and maybe a surprise Ray. I don't know. I don't see it. If they want to get eyes on it, yeah. I mean, maybe you throw them, you know, whatever is charging, like $10,000 or whatever. Have them come in and put somebody over. But at this point, I don't even see who's big enough to put over him except for Ali. Unless they bring somebody else in. I don't know. But, I mean, they're bringing Andrews in. They brought Bate in. I doubt we'll see Pete Dunne in this unless he's going all the way. But I think they keep Pete Dunne away from the Cruiserweights. Now, he is billed at 205. Maybe Oney Lorcan comes in. I think he's hurt, though. Maybe he comes in. That'd be cool. I'd like to see him wrestle. He showed on SmackDown already. I don't remember if he's... I think he was on 205 Live. I think he got beat on 205 Live. So, yeah, bring him in. Let him fucking goon somebody up. Yeah, we have a Daivari is going to be in this. I don't think I'm missing anybody. That roster is super thin. So, yeah, I think they're going to try to fill this roster a little bit. And I think they're going to give it, you know, a nice smack in the ass and try to get it forward after the derailment of the Zoe train. So, yeah, I guess we're just going to treat this like it completely started over. So, just delete all previous episodes, and this is our new starting point. So, I'm not going to try to dig into previous storylines because I think they're all dead at this point. And we'll just go from here, and, you know, I'm in it till the end. So, let's go. So, that's it. I mean, like I said, there's only so much you can talk about when there's not much story development and mostly just matches here. So we'll just wrap it up this week and see what next week brings. I think we're going to get two good matches. I want to see this Nice Gulag match because I think it's going to be awesome. And the other match should be very good as well. But I'm more curious to see the Nice Gulag. I'm actually very curious to see where Drew Gulak goes in this whole thing because he got away from the whole, you know, PowerPoint fun guy and turned into like Enzo's bitch, and I didn't like it that much. He'd still bring up the PowerPoint presentation, but yeah, he kind of got away from that character a little bit, it seemed. But like, he still liked that on social media, but like on screen was kind of weird for a little bit. So I'm curious to see where he goes because he was hot for a while. He still is. I mean, his Twitter is fucking hilarious. Dude's ridiculous. So yeah, I think that is about it. And, okay, let's wrap it. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Check out our other shows. If you're subscribed to the network, I'm sure you know what they are by now. I highly doubt anybody is just subscribing just to the No Fly Zone. If you are, you're fucking awesome. But I doubt it. I was going to say, yo, hit me up if you are. I'll send you a shirt. But No Fly Zone doesn't have any shirts. So I'll just give you a virtual high five if that's the case. Yeah, check out Red Zone, Blue Zone. Next Level. Strong Style Central. We just had a couple big events over in New Japan, if you're into that kind of thing. And I'm forgetting some. I apologize. This is my third time trying to record this, and I'm trying to remember what I have said already and what I have not said due to technical interference and some issues earlier. So, but yeah, check us all out. You can find me on Twitter at AJDREIB13. I am available to chat if need be about the state of the 205 Live division. So don't be shy, people. Yeah, that's going to wrap it. Everybody have a good night. Thank you for listening again. Later.